It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, Mideast Showdown.
Iran is threatening to retaliate immediately.
That is our top story at noon. Iran warning the U.S. against military action after weekend attacks on two Saudi oil facilities. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham.
If we give them a pass here, they just will escalate.
Armed conflict against Iran based on protecting Saudi oil, that would be a disaster.
That's Virginia Democrat Mark Warner. Today, President Trump cranked up sanctions against Iran. David Martin at the Pentagon.
They want basically all of our European allies to agree that this is not a trumped up case, but is real intelligence, not just an excuse for an attack on Iran.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on his way to Saudi Arabia. He'll arrive soon. Today, the Saudi military officially blamed Iran for the attacks. Tehran announcing today that if there's U.S. military action, they will retaliate. New pick for the NSA. President Trump naming his replacement for John Bolton today, Robert O'Brien. A U.S. hostage negotiator for the State Department will be the next national security advisor. President Trump fired Bolton a week ago. The election in Israel still too close to call.
Israel is in political limbo after the election ended in a deadlock between Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Israeli General Benny Gantz. On the streets, uncertainty.
The governmental map is just becoming more divided. We're all kind of wondering what's going to happen. I would call it very chaotic.
Neither candidate has a clear path to form a government, placing Netanyahu's 10-year grip on power in doubt.
That's Robert Berger reporting from Jerusalem. The battle lines have been drawn as the federal government gets set to revoke California's auto emissions standards. A longtime waiver has given that state power to impose the toughest standards in the country. But that's about to change. The Trump administration says the same rules should apply equally across the nation. Environmentalist Simon Moo says the big winners here are the big oil companies.
And that's because the oil industry will be able to sell more gas-guzzling cars on the road using more of their products.
The state of California expected to sue today's decision by the federal government. President Trump will be at the border wall in San Diego later today. Last year, the president promised to stop up to 99% of illegals on that stretch of the southern border. Flash flood watches up for Texas and Louisiana as Tropical Depression Imelda moves north. The big danger? The rain.
Total rainfall is likely to be widespread afoot. Some places over 2 feet of rain, especially in isolated areas east of Houston.
That's meteorologist Jeff Berardelli. Abortions are down in the U.S.
The abortion rate has dropped to its lowest level since the procedure first became legal nationwide in 1973. The Guttmacher Institute, a pro-abortion rights research organization, says fewer women are seeking abortions in Republican-controlled states seeking to restrict access and in Democratic-run states that protect abortion rights.
Vicky Barker reporting U.S. health officials investigating low levels of a cancer causing chemical in the popular heartburn medicine, Zantac.
Action that we're requesting from the FDA is a complete recall of all ranitidine products and an investigation into this drug.
Pharmacist David Light, Canada, has already asked drug companies there to stop distributing Zantac. The Federal Reserve expected to cut the interest rate today by a quarter of a point.
Everything from credit cards to adjustable rate mortgages, maybe even a private student loan, you might see a lower cost of servicing that debt.
That's business analyst Jill Schlesinger. Back in July, the feds lowered the interest rate for the first time in a decade. They're poised to lower it again later today. The Washington Monument reopens to tourists tomorrow after a three-year facelift.
It's an icon of this country and central to so many people's visits to D.C.
Jeff Reinbold with the U.S. Parks Service says an earthquake 8 years ago did extensive damage to the monument. He says business will be booming when it reopens tomorrow.
We look forward to probably 500,000 people or so a year.
The 555-foot-tall Wall Marble Monument was built in 1884 and until 1889, it was the tallest structure in the world. Still to come this Wednesday, flavored e-cigs out in New York. So too is that controversial license plate plan and a state senator from Pennsylvania charged with child pornography.
Well, a very good afternoon to all. Another beautiful day underway across the region. We're talking forecast details heading into the weekend coming up. We'll look for you in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and PA. Wednesday, September 18th, a Pennsylvania state senator has been arrested for child pornography. Here's Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, Bill, four-term Republican Mike Fulmer was charged last night after a search of his Lebanon home earlier in the day Tuesday. The five-month investigation began after the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children got a tip from the social networking website Tumblr. Child pornographic images were eventually traced back to the 63-year-old state senator. The GOP leadership in the state Senate says they're shocked and saddened by these allegations. Mike Fulmer was removed as chair of the State Government Committee in Harrisburg. Further action will be taken in the coming days. Bob Price, Family Life News.
All right, Bob, today Governor Tom Wolf calling for Mike Fulmer's resignation. The judge handling the resentencing of former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky, taking himself off of that case. Judge John Foradora announcing today he's recusing himself and requesting another judge to take over. Sandusky serving a 30 to 60 year prison sentence following his 2012 conviction for abusing 10 boys. Those flavored e-cigs, they're now illegal in New York. A state health panel approving the emergency ban yesterday. Retailers have 2 weeks to get the items off their shelves.
Not only is it something that is going to negatively impact business, but it certainly will negatively impact public health.
Brian Ellis with Yeti Vapes says the ban will cause a black market for flavored e-cigs and will drive folks back to traditional smokes.
And these people are going to either A, go back to tobacco smoking because they're not going to get anything that's going to satisfy them taste-wise, or what's going to happen is you're going to get these people that are going to decide they're going to be backyard or washroom chemists, and they're going to try to make their own e-liquid in substandard conditions. They will go ahead and distribute it to the public.
New York now the first state in the country to enact the ban on flavored e-cigarettes. A Florida family is in Buffalo trying to get custody of a little boy found in a box on someone's porch. Family Life's Dee Haley.
Buffalo police are trying to determine whether human remains found inside a burned-out car are connected with a boy found in a box on Monday morning. As that investigation continues, a family from Florida came to Buffalo yesterday in an attempt to gain custody of the three-year-old while police search for his missing parents. Child Protective Services has custody of the boy for now. The family will reportedly be allowed to see the boy this morning. The next court date for custody is set for October 9th. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. It's the end of the road for Governor Cuomo's controversial license plate replacement plan. That plan to charge motorists $25 for a new plate will not move forward.
I'd rather not have to pay $25 for any kind of plate. It's expensive enough to live in New York City.
Rochester's Joe Lake says he's pleased the state has put the brakes on the plan. So too is Emily Thompson. She's from nearby Churchville.
I think it's just another way for New York State to get some more money.
If Governor Cuomo really wants to make people happy, I don't think it's by canceling a rule that you shouldn't have made in the first place.
Corey Raggi from Rochester says the governor's plan was nothing more than a money grab. Cuomo had claimed that the new plates were needed in order to comply with the state's cashless tolls. Well, even though summer winding down fast, some fishing opportunities just beginning this fall in Pennsylvania. Family Life's Terry Diener.
Beginning on October the 1st and continuing through mid-December, the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission will stock more than 113,000 hatchery-raised adult rainbow, brown, and brook trout. The stockings will replace some of the most popular fishing spots across Pennsylvania. In October alone, hatchery staff will supply more than 82,000 trout to portions of 91 waterways in 47 counties. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Well, thank you, Terry. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf says the Keystone State deserves some recognition as America gets set to celebrate her 250th birthday in the year 2026.
This is where this nation started. And we want this 250th to pay adequate tribute to Pennsylvania to make sure the whole world understands how great we really are.
The governor has put together a special commission that'll be in charge of organizing a major celebration to mark Pennsylvania's role in America's 250 years of existence. Final dash to the finish line. Big League Baseball. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, we start with baseball, and Pete Alonso smacked his league-leading 48th homer. Mets cruise by the Rockies 6-1. The Mets, four games out of the National League wild card. Alonso.
We only got what? How many games left? 11-ish. Yeah, so we got 11 games left, and we're going to try and do the best we possibly can to get every single one. So, yeah, I mean, that's it.
Phillies also four out of the National League wild card after beating the Braves 5-4. Reese Hoskins.
I think first and foremost that we still have odds, right? Like, and we know that. Sure, we know that they may be long. We may have a lot of work to do, but we're still in it. And I think getting this win tonight is huge.
Not worried about the wild card with a 10-game lead. The Yankees also getting Luis Severino back, throwing four shutout innings in an 8-0 win in the Bronx. Bottom of the 12th inning, bases loaded for the Twins, and
inside, and it hit him. And Torres will go to first, and the Twins win it.
Hit by pitch, Twins win 9-8. Twins with a 5-game lead over the Indians. Indians beat the Tigers 7-2. They're a half game out of the American League wild card. 17 years after his father Craig Biggio hit for the cycle, well, Cavan does it in Baltimore.
Off the wall, two runs are in to score. There goes Biggio to third, and he'll get there to complete the cycle. What a night for Biggio.
That's a single, double, triple, and home run for Kevin Biggio in the Blue Jays' 8-5 win over the O's. And how about Mike Yastrzemski? He homered in his first game at Fenway Park to help the Giants outlast the Red Sox 7-6. He's the grandson of Red Sox Hall of Famer Carl Yastrzemski. The elder Yas played 23 seasons with the Sox. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Great job as always. Still to come this Wednesday, abortions, they are on the decline in these United States. We'll take a closer look. Plus, how do you solve a problem like Iran? And at the end of today's broadcast, the two Amish kids from Ohio in trouble with the law.
Too many, including Christians, including pastors, are choosing to end their lives. What can we do to help those in the church who struggle with depression and suicidal thoughts? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stonestreet. This is Breakpoint. Tragically, last week we all learned that Jared Wilson, associate pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship Church in Riverside, California, had committed suicide. He was a husband and father of two, and only 30 years old. Jared had founded a ministry called Anthem of Hope in order to minister to people with depression and suicidal ideations. He ended his life on the same day that he officiated the funeral of a Christian who had ended hers. About a year ago, Andrew Stockland, another 30-year-old pastor from California, also committed suicide. Like Wilson, he shared openly about his own battles with depression and anxiety. And about a year before that, Wisconsin pastor Bill Lentz took his life after a bout with depression and anxiety. Like Wilson, he had ministered extensively to many with depression and suicidal ideation and had created a suicide prevention ministry. In the fog of questions and grief, one thing is still clear. Neither Christians nor Christian pastors are immune from the suicide epidemic that's sweeping our country. My friend Ed Stetzer wrote, in response to Wilson's death, that while all suicides are shocking, stories of pastors and other Christian leaders who take their own lives cause questions to arise, questions that are unique. Among them must be, why is there still such a lack of awareness about the emotional, psychological, and spiritual struggles that pastors face? And also, where can pastors turn for help? Now, it's no surprise that so many pastors and ministry leaders are reluctant to admit that they struggle with sin, with depression, with their families. They especially struggle to be vulnerable with those who, quote-unquote, hold the power of the purse in their lives and can shape the future of their careers. And, as Stetzer pointed out in his article, there's an evangelical reluctance to look outside of Christian circles for assistance, especially when it comes to mental health issues. It's as if by doing so, we'd be admitting that the Christian faith is somehow inadequate.
Well, it isn't, of course. The Christian faith explains who we are, and it explains how truth and health can be found even by those who study God's world without realizing that it's God's world. As Ed put it, God does not fix it all. Yet. Or as Wilson himself wrote on Twitter the day he died, loving Jesus doesn't always cure suicidal thoughts. And loving Jesus doesn't always cure depression or PTSD and anxiety, for that matter. Wilson ended his life on the eve of World Suicide Prevention Day, a day intended to draw attention to the enormity of the crisis in the U.S. and around the world. In connection with World Suicide Day, and in order to help us all answer the one question that we should all be asking right now, what can we do? My friend Jeremiah Johnston has written an article explaining how Christians can make a difference when it comes to suicide and depression. It starts with knowing more about suicide and its causes. Now, we've posted this article at Breakpoint.org. Among the most important things to know is that mental illness is not a character flaw, it's a disease. Similarly, it's not a spiritual problem in the sense that it can be fixed with just more faith or more church. Mental illness is a treatable medical condition. There remains far too much stigma and shame in Christian circles when it comes to mental illness, and that has to stop. Mental illness is treatable, but only if it's treated. By supporting those around us, the church can help make that more likely. So, let's help. Just as the Christians in the Roman Empire ran toward epidemics while everyone else was running away from them, we have a chance today to do the same. And if you are one who is suffering from depression or suicidal thoughts, please seek help. There are those who love you, care for you, and want to help. And if you need help immediately, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-TALK. You can find Dr. Jeremiah Johnston's article, A Light in the Darkness, How We Can All Help Prevent Suicides, at Breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We are coming up on 17 minutes past the hour this Wednesday afternoon. Let's take it outside. No complaints there, Mr. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The stage is set for more beautiful weather. Simple as that. Higher pressure in the atmosphere will keep us shielded and blocked from rain clouds through most of the weekend. Next chance of rain here, probably not coming until later Sunday night or Monday. That's when a cold front, injected or infused with moisture from former tropical storm ML, they're bringing big rains to East Texas today, comes east. But again, that's days from now. In the meantime, for this afternoon, plenty of sunshine, high temps, low 70s. Another clear, cool night tonight, fog in some of the valleys overnight, low temperatures, 40s and low 50s. And beautiful tomorrow and Friday, abundant sunshine. High tomorrow in the 70s, up around 80 then on Friday. And again, the weekend looks warm, fair, and dry.
All right, Kevin Williams will take it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Wednesday, September 18th. What to do about Iran? That's what Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will be talking about with the leaders of the kingdom today. Pompeo in Saudi Arabia very soon. The attacks last week on Saudi oil facilities will be front and center. Correspondent Cammie McCormick at the Pentagon this afternoon.
Iran warned this morning that it would retaliate against any attack by the U.S. or Saudi Arabia, and it would not be limited to the source, which could mean it's threatening U.S. military ships and personnel in the region. The Saudis are expected to directly blame Iran for attacking their oil facilities. The U.S. has concluded the drones and missiles came from southern Iran.
That's Cammie McCormick at the Pentagon. Today, President Trump cranked up sanctions against Iran. Terrorism expert Ian Lee says steps are being taken to make sure future attacks by Iran are stopped.
To make sure an attack like this doesn't happen again, Saudi Arabia has joined a U.S.-backed force to protect vital shipping lanes and oil facilities while asking South Korea to help bolster air defenses.
Meantime, the U.S. State Department warning Americans living in Saudi Arabia to be on high alert. Robert O'Brien has been picked to replace former National Security Advisor John Bolton. President Trump says O'Brien has served him well as a hostage negotiator within the State Department and will do an excellent job leading the NSA. Israel's parliamentary election still too close to call. With all the votes counted, no winner has been declared yet between longtime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his challenger, Benny Gantz.
The political limbo here in Israel basically is going to put President Trump's long-awaited Mideast peace plan on hold. I mean, you need to have a stable government to either accept or reject that plan, and Israel simply doesn't have one, and it may be a long time until it does.
That's correspondent Robert Berger in Jerusalem. Pennsylvania State Senator Mike Fulmer arrested for child pornography last night. The four-term Republican charged after a search of his home in Lebanon earlier in the day. The five-month investigation began after the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children got a tip from the social networking site Tumblr. Child pornographic images eventually traced back to the 63-year-old. High-profile Democratic Party donor Ed Buck arrested last night after a third man overdosed at his home in West Hollywood. Here's reporter Crystal Cruz.
The DA accused Buck of preying on young, drug-addicted men who are homeless, baiting them with drugs, money, shelter, and injecting them with drugs.
Ed Buck also charged with sexual assault. The number of abortions across the U.S. has plunged to its lowest level since the procedure became legal nationwide in 1973. That report today from the Guttmacher Institute says abortions are decreasing in all parts of the country, regardless of whether it's a red state or a blue state. One reason for the decline? Fewer women are becoming pregnant today. Vape shops in New York say their profits will go up in smoke now that the state has banned the sale of flavored e-cigarettes.
To go and ban illegal regulated products because of an issue with a black market seems a little backwards to me.
Yesterday, a state health panel appointed by the governor banned the sale of flavored e-cigarettes. Retailers have 2 weeks to remove the items from their store shelves. A new warning today to governments: get better prepared for a health crisis. Here's correspondent Vicky Barker.
A panel of global health experts is warning we're facing a mounting threat from deadly pandemics. The Global Preparedness Monitoring Board calling on all governments to beef up their medical preparedness and their research programs now. Otherwise, it warns there's a real threat that a contagious disease like Ebola, flu, or SARS could spread globally in less than 36 hours, killing up to 80 million people and wiping out nearly 5% of the global economy.
That's Vicky Barker reporting from London. Putting the brakes on those new license plates, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has scrapped a plan to mandate replacing old license plates all across the Empire State. The proposal, which would have charged drivers up to $40 for a new plate, was unpopular with lawmakers and with residents alike. Here's Siena College pollster Stephen Greenberg.
Maybe the state has realized the level of opposition from voters and has decided to switch gears. So I think the voters would say that's a good thing.
The governor says instead of charging folks for new plates, they're working with the state legislature to create a plan where plates older than 10 years are inspected and, if still readable, can be kept. Well, it's pouring today in southeast Texas as tropical depression Imelda starts to move in.
Imelda is going to drop a lot of rain. It's not going to be Harvey, we should say that. However, some places will pick up 2 feet plus of rainfall. The heaviest rain has been on the barrier island around places like Galveston and Freeport.
That's forecaster Jeff Berardelli. New Mexico wants to make tuition at its public colleges and universities free for all state residents, regardless of family income. The move, part of a growing national backlash against the crippling cost of higher education. New tailgating rules in place for Sunday's Bills home opener. Family Life's Dee Haley in our Buffalo newsroom this afternoon.
Fans heading to the Bills home opener against the Bengals on Sunday will see some changes. There will be no more tailgating by your vehicle or in the bus and limo lot. Instead, there will be a specially marked tailgate village as a response to unruly fan behavior before games. Depending on how large your group is, getting in could cost anywhere from $300 to $900. The village includes tables, tents, and chairs for the fans. The Bills say fewer people are buying bus and limo parking permits so far because of that extra cost. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. After being closed to tourists for the past 3 years for renovations, the Washington Monument will be open to the public again tomorrow. The 555-foot-tall marble monument honoring the nation's first president has an upgraded elevator and a new security screening area. It was built over several years in the 1800s and was briefly the tallest structure in the world. We are coming up on 25 minutes past the hour this Wednesday afternoon. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Chris Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Chris Anderson. Today, we look at a topic that seems so easy for some and quite elusive to others, that being true happiness. And it's interesting that an article which appeared on the website ChristianHeadlines.com cited a statistic which appeared in a New York Times article, actually, that real per capita income has more than tripled since the late 1950s, but the percentage of people saying they're very happy has, if anything, slightly declined.
That's true, Brandon, and I actually read the same article. And, you know, what's interesting to note is that we may be off, better off, I should say, in some respects than previous generations when it comes to finances and certain areas of social stability. Yet the experience, as reported by many, is that we are overall not happier, and this article addresses that.
When we're looking at the concept of happiness, why is it that for some it does seem so easy when for others happiness seems just difficult to achieve?
Well, Brandon, I want you to think about what the statistic is showing. So again, the real capita income has tripled since the late 1950s. And even if we account for the inflation, so we have to make sure we have that in there, that still leaves a sizable increase in overall income. So as much as we'd probably all like to prove wrong the old adage that money can't buy happiness, I think the fact remains that some of the most unhappy people that we see tend to have money. So it definitely proves that money is not the answer to everything in regards to bringing happiness. So definitely this is such a good topic for us to address today, for sure.
Now, I'm sure some would be saying that they find it hard to believe that the opposite is automatically true, that the happiest people have little money.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, living in poverty itself is not what actually allows for greater happiness. So we have to try to move away from this money-happiness connection to really understand happiness. And Brandon, I've done a couple of segments, as you know, from an area that means a lot to me, and that's being in a very rural, financially impoverished area of Jamaica where some of my happiest times of my life have been spent, and the anticipation for me just builds as I get closer to being able to visit that area again. But what makes this so special for me, and is also written about in this article, is that people that report the most satisfaction in life, which they correlate with higher levels of happiness, are those who have very rich and healthy relationships. It's in these relationships that people find stability, and it's through these relationships that Christ works. And Proverbs 30, verse 8 states, "Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread." Now, interestingly enough, the first part of that verse is a request that God keeps falsehood and lies away, and then, of course, it goes right into the heart of the matter. Living only for riches and being completely impoverished are both difficult ends of a spectrum with respect to overall happiness.
The major question here now from most people is, well, how do we balance it out? How do we not be overly focused on gaining financial riches, but also not falsely believe that if we're in poverty, we should be fully content with that state?
Exactly. You know, that is a danger. We have to be careful of that one as well. And quite honestly, I believe it starts with having gratefulness for the blessings that we do have. Gratitude frees us up to shift our focus away from the negative and start to use what we have to build on a relationship first and foremost with Christ, and then see that what we do have are blessings from Him. That particular relationship with God will be the one that sustains us, the one that actually lasts. We'll see at various times in our lives, people will be put there in our paths, which will provide experiences and relationships for us to help us be happier during times of difficulty. But really, Brandon, we should also balance out our expectations. You know, I work with so many people in my line of work, particularly young people, that are under the false belief that they should be happy all the time. And as a matter of fact, just this week, I was meeting with an amazing young man who used those exact words to me. He said, Chris, I just can't figure out why I am not happy all the time. And the reality is, we won't be happy all the time. We need to be careful not to confuse our joy as Christians, in other words, that eternal perspective with who we are in Christ and the promise that we have of being with him someday. We got to be careful we don't confuse that with what we define as present-day happiness. In other words, we need to know that there will be other emotions that are not only part of life, but they're a significant part of being Christian. And I think it's safe to say that Jesus was not always happy, particularly when he was going through the pain and suffering he endured for us. But taking the steps to be grateful and build lasting, healthy, God-honoring relationships with others will ultimately be what increases our happiness. And honestly to say also, just Jesus was focused on the joy that he had as who he was as the Son of God, and ultimately he got that joy, even though he went through horrible things, in his identity and also what he had to look forward to.
You've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Chris Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Chris Anderson.
Thank you, guys. Real Answers comes your way Wednesdays during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime, fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The stage is set for more beautiful weather. Simple as that. Higher pressure in the atmosphere will keep us shielded and blocked from rain clouds through most of the weekend. Next chance of rain here, probably not coming until later Sunday night or Monday. That's when a cold front injected or infused with moisture from former tropical storm ML, they're bringing big rains to East Texas today, comes east. But again, that's days from now. In the meantime, for this afternoon, plenty of sunshine, high temps, low 70s. Another clear, cool night tonight, fog in some of the valleys overnight, low temperatures, 40s and low 50s. And beautiful tomorrow and Friday, abundant sunshine. High tomorrow in the 70s, up around 80 then on Friday. And again, the weekend looks warm, fair, and dry.
Tough to complain with that. Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally at noon, two Amish kids in the heart of Amish country in Trumbull County, Ohio, in trouble with the law today after drinking and driving in their buggy.
They're not licensed, you know, as far as the buggy goes, but it is a vehicle, it's on the roadway, and the OVI laws do apply. You're not allowed to drink and drive or operate a buggy.
County Chief Deputy Joe Dragovich says after deputies stopped the buggy, the two Amish kids inside jumped out, then took off. So too did the horse.
I've never operated an Amish buggy with a horse, but I'm told that the horse will know the way home, regardless if the operator is awake or even in the buggy.
Dragovich says he's still waiting for those two Amish kids to turn themselves in. He says once they do, he's got their horse and buggy waiting for them. That is the world we live in this Wednesday, as always. Thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.